And she's actually very accomplished as a pianist. And so, kids, you all out? All right, good. You have your Bibles? You ready for this? They're like, yes, we're done. Good old Lily. She's going to go up there and lead. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Nehemiah, I'm going to have you turn to chapter 4, but I'm going to read something really quick in chapter 3 to kind of give you a synopsis of what's happening. If you get the emails, we kind of prepared you, but I think you're kind of prepared anyway because we're going to be in Nehemiah this week and we're going to be in Nehemiah next week. See, y'all didn't plan on being here, so you just didn't want to say nothing, right? Well, we'll be in Nehemiah next week too, so what should you keep doing? Just keep on reading. Yes, you're awake. I love it. It's beautiful out. You can't wait to get to the sunshine after Sunday school, so that's good. All right, let's turn to chapter 4. Once you have that, if you would please stand with me for the reading, the powerful reading of God's Word. I'm just going to give you a glimpse in chapter 3. It's pretty exciting. A lot of good things are happening. We see Nehemiah empowering people, and they are rebuilding. I love it. They're starting with the gates and the areas closest to the temple. So they're getting the temple set first, meaning putting God first. And so I'm just going to give you a glimpse into that. Then we'll go to 4, a glimpse into that, 5, a glimpse into that, because you've already read it. All right. So starting in 3 here. Then Elishabab, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated as far as the tower of the hundred, as far as the tower of the Hananel, and next to him the men of Jericho built, and next to them Zachor the son of Irmel built. And it goes on and on. You know what has happened? The people have risen up. The people of God who were scattered rose up and began to do God's will. And it all started with one person, Nehemiah. He heard a vision, or he heard news, and he had a vision of what could be. Church, we have a vision of what could be for the kingdom of God. And then all of a sudden, the people said yes. They rose up. And we see the remainder of this chapter talking about how they rose up and what they rebuilt. I'd encourage you to read it, to be encouraged that God calls us to serve him. In chapter 4, we see some more opposition. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, remember he was what? He was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews, and he said in the presence of his brothers of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" See, I hate that, and I can say that, because you know what the enemy says about us? The enemy says that we're feeble. The enemy says that we're worthless. The enemy says that we can't. The enemy says that we never will. And so here the enemy is speaking against the people and movement of God. Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that? Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, I love this. You know, when evil gets together, it just gets nasty. Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up it, he will break down their stone wall. Now, remember, Nehemiah is writing this, and guess what he does? Hear, O our God. Come on now, right? Interrupt the enemy, stop the enemy, and start praying to God of heaven. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover up their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Come on now. He's saying, knock it off. God, come on, stop this mess. I know better than that. I know truth. I know the power and presence of God. So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Come on now. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as protection against them day in and day night. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. Now, I want you to get the picture here, because we're going to skip in a second. These are the people getting together outside of the work, saying that the people are not going to. I love it. Come on now, I'm fired up. I'm fired up because Nehemiah speaks directly to who we are. I love when people who aren't involved in serving start speaking to people who are involved in serving. If you're not going to serve, stay out. Amen. Come on now, right? If you're not going to serve, then don't start speaking into it. Don't think just because you're on a committee that you have the right to. If you're not down in Ezra's, don't speak against it. Come and work with it. And this is what's happening here. The people are coming against Nehemiah and saying, what in the world? They're tired. They're worn out. I love Nehemiah. They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, come on now. They weren't negative just once. It's that person that comes to you and they're negative one day, then the next day, guess what? They are negative again, and then they're negative again. After 10 times, Nehemiah had his way. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Amen. Yes. Y'all are afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Come on now, Nehemiah didn't give his opinion. He didn't give his thoughts. He didn't repeat his vision. You know what he did? He rose up. And he said, grab your spears and grab your hammers. You're going to get to do both. And do not be afraid. And he said, let's remember who the Lord is. And so instead of having a diatribe and going on and on, he said, do not be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord tells us not to be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fights for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. The work resumes. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work from that day on. Half of them, right, stood guard in hidden places, and I'm going to just surmise. The other half did what? Had a hammer in one hand and a weapon in their pocket just in case. And guess what was heard among the nations? That God's people were ready to put down the hammer and pick up the... Whew. So we get to 5. Here's the trouble, people. A lot of this dissension is coming from within the people of God. Now there arose a great outcry of the people, this is the people of God, and their wives against the Jewish brothers, for there were those who said, with our sons and our daughters, we are many. So let us grain that we may eat and keep alive. Basically, there was a big outcry. We don't have enough food. Our men are out working. Now they're fighting, and we have nothing, and we're beginning to waste away. And so, in 6, skipping ahead, I was very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. Now, I like this. Now, y'all won't like this, because in the Church of the Nazarene, we got a council with the council, and then the council, and I love the Nazarene Church, and we'll never leave it. I took counsel with you myself. Meaning, he heard it all, and guess what he did? He took counsel with himself. You know why? Because guess who went to God? Guess who got the vision? Guess who was told to lead? And so he counseled with himself. I don't think that's always the best thing, because some of our minds are what? Not ready to counsel our own mind. But in this situation, as it goes with the Lord gave him a vision and a plan. And I don't care how theological you are, that's what it says, and Nehemiah stood strong. A man, a few words. I took counsel with myself, and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials, and I said to them, you are exacting interest, each from his brother. And then he held a great assembly, and he spoke some things. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God? So right away he says, you're not sinning against each other, you're sinning against not understanding what it means to fear God. Church, we need to fear God. When our mouths open, we should fear God. We could just read the scripture all day. We don't need to hear what I have to say. To prevent the taunts of the nations and our enemies. Then he went on in 14, moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of the king, 12 years, so now we know it's 12 years along, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. Meaning he didn't take what? Come on now, this is so good, church. You don't read Nehemiah enough. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them daily. And then he goes on to say, and then at the end he says, yet for all this I did not demand the food allowance of the governor because the service was too heavy on his people. Remember for my God, oh my God, all that I have done for this people. So he says, enough is enough. Stop working against each other. The debts are cleared. I'm going to not eat from. There was 150 people at their table. We're not going to eat from. So your stuff is going back to you, and somehow, some way, God will provide for us. God, we pray right now that your presence would come. God, that you would speak to us, you would empower us as Christians. We should read this and say, okay, let's go, God. Okay, let's roll. Okay, let's make it happen. And so today, God, let us rise. Let us seek your counsel and let us go out. And so, God, today, prepare us for these words. Bring power into this place because you are power. And so we pray right now that you would empower us, enlighten us, and come against the enemy in the name of Jesus, because he doesn't want us reading this, because in this event, his plan did not see the light of day. And he doesn't need to see the light of day in our lives, in this church, and in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, let's roll along here. I don't want you to forget that Nehemiah was a willing man, okay? He was willing, he was ready. I want to ask you today, are you willing? Are you ready? I look around and I see people like Adam, and I know I focus on him sometimes, but as he faces this cancer, he continues to serve. As he walks with permanent neuropathy in his feet, he continues to serve. Is it easy? No. Church, God is calling us to rise up and to be willing to serve him. So let's talk for a second here. I want to remind you where Nehemiah was to where Nehemiah was headed. He was a what? A cupbearer. Now all of a sudden, guess what we get to see? He becomes a warrior. I love it. Did he have training to be a warrior? No. Maybe some. But theologians would say this was all new for him. But yeah, what's interesting is that he didn't really act like it was. It would come against him, and he rose up with few words and went forward. And guess what the people did after he spoke and set a plan up? They went with it, which means this dude was a natural-born leader. I'm sorry. For many, many years, he was sitting in a place of service that was not where God intended him to be. Have you ever been in that place before where you're just waiting to get to that place where God really is going to, and you know God's really going to, and yet here we find him going from cupbearer to bearer of arms. Nehemiah was a grown man who was truly beginning to emerge into who God created him to be. In a form that he didn't even know God was going to use him. In fact, at first, guess what he thought? I was just going to go lead the building project. And then before you know it, he's not only leading a building project, but somehow God's placing plans in his mind and in his heart to protect the people. So you cannot tell me that God is not in, right, in the business of working in one way and working in another. And so we see this cupbearer go from a builder to a warrior. And it was successful. In fact, I love it because God likes to cause confusion amongst our enemies. I believe God sent word. And all of a sudden, we see the scripture telling us in Nehemiah testifying that the enemy became confused and stalled out. Church, as you emerge, no matter your age, into who God has created you to be, as you really come to terms with that, as you hold on to that, as you realize that, you really can't guess what it's going to be. Let him do the work. Nehemiah adopted God's thought for him rather than his own. And I say this a lot because you have thoughts for yourself. How do they line up with the thoughts that God has for you? How do they line up with the plans that God has for you? Think about it. He held on to it completely and wholeheartedly. I love this because honestly, if we were to put ourselves in the place of Nehemiah and this was coming up and all of a sudden the fighting was coming, what would we probably do? We would say what? We are not qualified. I was never in the army. We would start saying things like that. We can't come up against this enemy. God called me and gave me a vision for the building of God's temple. He didn't give me a vision to bear arms. Here's what's crazy. Nehemiah didn't care. You know why? Because the plan and the fulfillment of that plan that God gave him was so great that he didn't even skip a beat. You know how many beats we skip in our Christian faith? We skip so many, and I believe it grieves the heart of God. Because he says here, and we get right there, and we retreat. He just stands up. And he says, well, let's post guard. That makes sense. That's a first step, right? Well, it kept coming, because you know what, guard, all they do is they do what? They warn the Then you know what he did? He took a ram's horn. Y'all know what a ram's horn is in the Old Testament? It notified what? Yeah. You know what else it did? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon hour when the lamb was slain, it rang. You know, it's heartbreaking to know that even when Jesus died, as the lamb was dying, they were blowing that ram's horn. Whew. Y'all, you better get out of the old and get into the new work of God. So he took that ram's horn and put someone next to him and said, every time the enemy comes, blow that ram's horn. A horn that reminded us of the sacrifice. A horn that reminded us to worship. Now it's going to be the horn that reminds us to go to battle. Meaning when that horn rang, they put down their hammer and they picked up their weapon. Nehemiah didn't skip a beat, even though he was not a trained warrior. Think about the threat. Well, the threat came from within, and it came from, you know, when you go after God's plan, and you know that you know that you know it is, you will receive threats from within and threats from. When people sit in front of me and say, like, this is the first time I've really held on to, but so-and-so says I shouldn't. I look at them and say, who's so-and-so? Well, you know them. I said, I know them. But why are you listening to them? If the word of God says and your prayer life says and your spirit's connected to him, then why in the world are you listening to that voice? Tell me some other voices. Oh, well, this one and that one, they're encouraging and they're. So why are you listening to the one out of the 10? Come on now, because we listen to the negative before we listen to anything else. Not Nehemiah. Come on now, church, not Nehemiah. He took those threats within and he said, well, let's just deal with it. They said, retreat. He said, go forward. God didn't tell me to retreat. And so he dealt with it. What's crazy is he dealt with it with so few words. He just made a plan and said, let's go with it. Came from the outside. You know what? It boils down to, I was thinking about this week, and it just boils down to the enemy was jealous. These people are fired up. They're has-beens. Things aren't going great. And all of a sudden, these people that they know in their mind have heard the stories of the God of heaven and what the God of heaven has done through the years. They're just jealous because they ain't a part of that. Not that they couldn't be. And so they rise up. And you know what? Nehemiah rose up. In fact, the scripture says he rose. Church, you should read through the Bible and see the times when people rise up. See the times when Jesus says, I'm going to rise up. He rose with the power and might that came from God Almighty. And he took care of the jealous enemy. And so he dealt with the building committee, and he also dealt with the war, the battle committee. Does it sound fun, though? Y'all, if I said to you today, I'm going to give you a hammer because you got to go do this out there, plus I'm going to give you a weapon so you can take care of the, you'd be like, Pastor, I'm too old for this. I'm tired. I'll go home and pray. I'll be like, God bless you because I'm with you, right? It doesn't sound like fun. But here's what's crazy. The people just said, okay. Whew. Church, come on now. We have battles all over the world right now, and we as Christians have to bind together and bind together through his spirit and just say yes. Yes, we've got to see lives changed. We've got to see people, because of our witness and our testimony, say yes to the Lord. And so God does not lead us where he cannot sustain us. So think about this first point. God is taking you from, now for Nehemiah, it was a cupbearer, but for you, where is he taking you from? We talk about this a lot because God should always be taking you from somewhere to somewhere to become a warrior for his kingdom. So what is it that you have to leave behind in order to, do you ever hear Nehemiah say, man, when I was a cupbearer, I got to eat and drink from the table of the, when I was a cupbearer, the physician checked me every day to make sure, when I was a cupbearer, You wouldn't even know the dude was a cupbearer. You know that, right? And he wrote this. He could have reminded you, but guess what? That was him before the plan of God came in. After he let that go. So where is God taking you from to become a warrior for his kingdom? You know, it's interesting. I thought about this because I was going to make this statement. I'm going to make it, and then I'm going to correct it. Does that sound okay? Because God convicted me of it. And oftentimes in America, we don't think of having to be an actual warrior. And yet, as I hear from Nazarene leaders, there are pastors, let's just be real, that are ready to be warriors at the same time ready to be servants in a country where there's war. So who knows? And you may have opinions on that and what it says in the Bible about murder and war. I'm just saying, we can't deny this. But for today, I'm pretty sure the warrior that God's calling you to be is to speak the truth, to speak love, to speak grace, to not back down when the opportunity comes, to say yes, to not be the naysayer, to be the one who's a part of changing lives for the kingdom, for the gospel. So now we see, I love this, from cupbearer to reminder of who God is. You know, when people start coming up against you and you start using scripture, you know, they just roll in their eyes. You know that, right? They pacify in the moment because you really can't come up against scripture. And then they walk and they get in their car and they say, that pastor, I mean, my goodness, he's going to drive me crazy. Yeah, because scripture just clears it up. He says, people, don't you remember who's mighty and who's awesome? That's not very theologically deep, right? And when you translate it, he was just saying, you remember we serve a great God who's awesome? That's all he said. But you know what he did? He reminded the people, and he silenced the nonsense. Do you know what scripture does? It reminds us, and it silences the enemy. Because the enemy just doesn't have much to do with scripture. Because there's power in the scripture. There just is. And how many times before had he heard those words? Had they heard those words? All the way from the Psalms to, I mean, we could just sit here all day. Nehemiah became the voice of reason. Church, you have a message that is the voice of reason. Now many will say, no, it's not. No, I think when you start like understanding that love is Christ and living out the way he walked and ministered to people on earth, you could become the voice of reason. Jesus was the voice of reason. It's why the enemies took him at night. Because man, during the day with everybody around. Church, we can't even stay awake in church. So when we go out, how can we be the voice of reason? Because we can barely remember the very little bit that we actually live out. Because stats tell us, once you leave here, ain't much happening with the problem with the families. Nehemiah also had to be the voice that jogged the people's memory. Many had to say, now remember when God did. You ever have to jog somebody's memory and just say, remember when God did? Can't he do it again? Absolutely. I hear a lot here in Anderson, when Anderson was. I just ignore it because I see what Anderson is and what it can be. And I have grown to love it. My wife has grown to love it. I drive down these streets and feel different. I get chills just talking about it. I sat with someone on Friday for hours, and we talked about what Anderson is going to be. Not what it could be, what it's going to be. Because then when we bind together, come on now. Whatever is dead can be made alive. Whatever can be. Whew. His message was this. Whenever we engage, and I like this. Because see, Nehemiah could have said, if we're just faithful, good people, God's going to be with us. Right? Because we want to hear that message. We want to turn on our TV and hear that mess. But you know what Nehemiah said? Whenever. Come on now. This is scripture. And it's Old Testament, so it's been around for a while. We engage in the Lord's work, God will fight for us. So when you come to me and say, I ain't serving the Lord in any way, but I'm faithful to my tithe and I'm faithful to be at church, what does the scripture tell us? Well, Pastor, we're saved by grace. I know that, but then there's a journey after that. And my elders in here, I say this all the time, if all you can do is pray, do it. And do it well. Do it faithfully. Do it day and night. But if you have the mind to do it, and God has given it to you, you better engage in the work of the Lord. Whatever that looks like. And I'm not of the where it has to be, preach, teach, and sing. It's just not it. That's not enough. But he said, look, y'all are working. So why are you worried? Because guess what? They were. And they said, oh, you know what? You're right. Well, we engage in his mission. He's going to. And he sent the confusing message, and those people settled down. Y'all, when you start combating with the scripture, I promise you that it will confuse the enemy. What is your message? What is it? Who's sitting beside you today that wasn't last week? God is taking you from a cupbearer to become the person who reminds others of who God is. When we sit down with people, when we're working with people that are hurting, what should we close with? Where are you at spiritually? Where is your heart? Where is your mind? Is it centered on the things above? Church, you have a message. Be bold enough to share it. I love this. Come on now, right? I'm excited. From cupbearer to injustice addresser. You know, there's a lot of injustice in our world. And you know what bothers me? I had the board read this book a couple years ago from Dr. Busick. And it talks about the seasons in the Nazarene church. And he just flat out goes there and talks about a season in the Nazarene church where we went in a direction that the government was going in that we shouldn't have. And it still hurts us today. Because there are certain parts of society that could say, you did that to us. You moved away from us. You decided that this wasn't a... And if you know your Nazarene history in the 1948s to 1954, what happened? We moved buildings because of the area they were in and specifically stated in our bylaws because of a certain... And it mourns his heart as our general superintendent still to today. And it should mourn yours. Because injustice is exactly what God wants to eliminate. And there's a lot of injustice, and it's happening around all of us. So the people outcried. Now, this was in the law of Moses. You know what they were doing? They were charging each other crazy interest. And then all of a sudden, it became a mess because then everybody owed everybody, and this person owed that person, and all of a sudden, nobody was eating. And nobody had food. And so they came to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was angry. He actually says it. Because he said, I was angry when I heard their outcry in these words. That's when he withdrew to himself. You know why? Because they weren't living right. So he didn't go to them and say, what do you think? Would that have made sense? Y'all are taken from you and you're taken from you. And now you went back to you and you want, so I'm going to come get counsel from you. What? He said, let me retreat, right, to the God of heaven who gave me this mission, and let me hear from him. Then he came back out, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to correct this. And then I love it. Nehemiah lumped himself into it, and he put himself right there and said, it's me too. Now, he wasn't even taking what the governor was supposed to, but he went in and said, it's me too. You know that's honorable, right? Nehemiah said, you are charging your own people. The law of Moses was supposed to protect that. Well, you know, we're in a state. You know what I'm saying? Things are going on. We had to just do it. Nope. Not if it's contrary to the word of God. No way. That's not a holiness people. And so he said, enough is enough. Here's what's interesting. I'll just do a little theological step out for a second. Here, right translates as T-O-B rather than S-E-D-A-Q-A, Tov connotes what is good or pleasing in the sight of God. Usually in the Old Testament, you actually see right translated as the other way, which is adhering to a set of right standards. I love this, church. Come on now. You know what he did? He said, you all know the law, so I'm not going to remind you of that because you already were disobedient to that. I'm going to remind you what's right in the sight of God. And this isn't it. So get it together. He stepped away from the standard and he said, where's your heart? Where's your heart? What injustice within your realm needs your voice? Our church is a voice. Every time we serve, every time we step out, every time we open our arms, every time we say yes to the next thing that God calls us to, we are eliminating injustice. But there's more to it than just us. Bringing in line what is pleasing to God. We don't do it just because the Word of God says to do it. We do it because love, translated Christ, whose heart breaks for injustice, then inflicts that same heartbreak on us, and we respond. He actually said, y'all better shake it off. And you know what's great? I don't know about these people, but I'm just telling you, I think they learned from their ancestors. They said, look, they just went this many years in exile. We don't want to go there. We know God. We made a mistake. You know what all they said? Amen. Whew. If we could just do that in the church when God calls, we amen. It was wrong. All right. No, let's discuss it because you know what? I was right on this day, but maybe I wasn't right on Wednesday, but Thursday I had the right thought. Just rebuke it and just say, okay, Nehemiah, you're right. You know what they said? They didn't conversate. They said amen. They realized that their heart needed to be pleasing to God. They realized that they had done wrong. And then Nehemiah set the example and said, I'm not going to be like the rest of the governors. And I'm not going to take. We're not going to take. It meant 150 people that were leading this movement. We're going to trust who for what? Actually, as I was studying this, you know who I thought of? It was Pastor Aaron. Remember we had him a couple months ago? And he said, I stepped out in faith and gave up my... That's what he did. He said, so wherever it comes from, we're going to trust that when we sit at the table, it'll be there. Man. God is taking you from, you fill it in, we're not cupbearers, but we're something, to an injustice eliminator. Church, there's a lot of injustice. It enraged Nehemiah. He actually just said, I was angry. I was angry. You know what's crazy about this last part? He wasn't angry this time about what was happening on the... He was angry about what was happening on the inside. Y'all, there are people around you hurting, suffering, not knowing who to go to. And as their pastor, when I sit with them, well, I don't want to tell anybody because I'm not sure what they're going to say. Come on. Why are you talking about other people's injustice? Where have you been? And maybe it isn't the last 20 years, but maybe the last 50, if we start writing it out. So let's not. And just say, hey, I want to walk with you. Who in here don't you know? Because many of you just said, there's nobody in here that, yeah, there is. And maybe you're the answer. Maybe you're the person. Maybe you're the vessel. But maybe you need to get to know somebody you don't know in order to do what you don't know is there to do. Because Nehemiah didn't know what there was to do until his brother came and said, my goodness, look what's happened. You know, I'm blessed. I look at Nehemiah and I just see, I'm just going to say this, right? Over and over again, he alone. He just working alone. And yet if Nehemiah was standing here one day, and maybe one day you'll get to meet him, depending on how you decide what to do today and tomorrow and the next day. But man, Nehemiah's going to tell you I was never alone. Not one minute did I think I was alone. You aren't alone. I'm thankful I don't have to be Nehemiah. I have an incredible wife who's a partner in ministry, who if you're here on Wednesdays, ladies, you'll hear her teach. She calls, texts, cares, prays, sits with me, does too much. Didn't we argue yesterday because you want to take something else on? And I said, no. She said, you don't think I can do it? You know what I used to, I said, that one was a saying. We got all these kids in this house screaming at each other. I said, you need to go take care of them. But she'll still do what she wants. But anyway, I at least said, don't do it. So when I come home, they're not all worked up. But Nehemiah just, he just stood up. And then he stepped back and said, God, I'm mad. God probably looked at him and said, I am too. That's why I gave him a law. In church, God still doesn't like injustice. And so, whatever you think you are right now, you are an injustice eliminator. And so go in that power. Stop saying you can't. Stop saying I'm too old. Stop saying my day is. I'm always encouraged when I come by and you're sitting at that door on a Friday, letting people in. Jesus, God, help us. I think many of us today, it's exciting. We want to go from blank to a warrior for the kingdom of God. God, we want to go from a blank to a person who stands up for the gospel and speaks the truth and settles everything down. And then, God, I believe in our hearts, we especially as holiness, heart holiness people, we want injustice eliminated. So, God, empower us to be just that. Enlighten us, strengthen us. Nehemiah just stood and spoke and moved. God, let us stop overcomplicating it. Nehemiah didn't do much. He listened and was obedient and then quoted scripture and then reminded people what scripture said and then said, my goodness, this isn't right. Looked at you said, and he moved. We just make it so complicated. God, let us simplify it and stand strong with you. Empower us today. Strengthen us. God, remind us throughout the week as we read through Nehemiah the very power that comes through standing with you. We love you. We thank you. We continue to lift the people of Ukraine to you. We lift the people in this area to you that need you. We lift the people in this city to you. God, we pray that you would just enlighten the city. God, brighten it, bring hope, strengthen it, empower. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would encourage you today, church, you're so incredible. Go out in the power and presence that God has gifted you. God bless you. Sunday school.